welcome everybody to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today is March 30th, 2019, and we're here live for the next 2 hours, and we've got a lot going on. So sit down, get your note-taking materials ready, because we're going to get this show hopping. Now listen, everybody, as you well know by now, I start my day off with my fresh cup of joe from the CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. So go check it out. They got a special going on. 2 32-ounce Powerades for $2.50. Not a bad deal. So when you go and get your chips and snacks and all that kind of stuff, you can wash it all down with some good Powerade. We're simulcasting here now and live on KMIL 105.1 FM The Ranch and out of Rockdale at KRXT at 98.5. So raise up the dial, raise the volume. And if you can't get it on the radio clearly, go to their respective websites and you can hear the live stream going as we do the show. If you want to be part of the show today, give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. The number again to the studio, 254-697-6633. Love to have you on the show, hear what you got to say. Also, check out the social media. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. I always put updates, things that are coming up, product spotlights, the whole works, and you get to see this week's product spotlight, which is the Ruger EC9S 9mm, so you can check that out. Like us on Facebook while you're there. Also, check it out on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. And by all means, become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. There's so much information on the Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel when it comes to product demos, special interviews, the attorneys, Rick and Ross. They do a fantastic job when it comes to going over law when it pertains to license to carry and any other aspect of guns. And now we're going over the Bill of Rights. So that's going to be a great thing. We're doing part two of the Sixth Amendment today, so that'd be great. So, got a lot going on. Let me give you some more idea of some show highlights. We're going to have true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. We always like to do that, see what people can do in distress, what to do and what not to do in situations like those. And like I mentioned, the LTC attorney segment with attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson will be going over the Sixth Amendment part two. There's so much in that amendment that it was necessary for us to do a second part, so that would be very interesting. And, of course, on the YouTube channel, we have the first part, so if you want to watch that afterwards and get ready for, I don't know, about Tuesday, we'll have the second part up on YouTube. Then we'll have Tactical Snacking with the delicious Janae Goodman. And last week, I was talking to you about my notes for preparedness. Well, Janae's got a segment here. It's Bug Out Bag Essentials, so it's a nice follow-up to last week's program. Unfortunately, at 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, can't make it, so I'm going to be filling in, going over some of the advanced training that I'm doing with a group of gentlemen and tell you the little ins and outs of that. It's going really well, and it's a perishable skill. Shooting guns is a perishable skill, so if you don't keep it up and practice, you're going to lose it. Then we'll have our devotional minute, and then the product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms, is the Ruger EC9S. A lot going on. Then in the interview segment, I don't have anybody for an interview. I'm going to be going over some other things, too, what the show provides, what the gun shop provides. And there's just so many facets to the business that you may not be aware of. I want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on out there, okay? So we're going to get cranked up on the show in just a minute. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have true stories of self-defense coming out of the American Rifleman's, the Armed Citizen column. Joel, take it away. We'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. I can't tell you how hard it is. I'm looking at Joel here. I said, no, Joel, keep playing the music. Keep playing the music. I'm a rocker through and through. All right, we're at the Armed Citizens column here. If you've got the current issue, April issue of the American Rifleman, go to page 10. And we're going to start with out in Boyd's Mill, Pennsylvania. A man in his 90s awoke to the sound of someone banging loudly on the rear entrance of his home. The elderly homeowner approached the door with his gun to investigate the situation. Outside, there was an unknown man who was demanding that he be let inside for a cigarette. The homeowner refused to provide entry and told the man to leave the premises. Undeterred, the trespasser stated that he was coming inside anyway and pulled a weapon from his pocket. Fearing for his life, the armed citizen raised and fired his gun, hitting the trespasser in the leg, before retreating to his bedroom and calling 911. Police arrived and transported the wounded trespasser to the hospital before filing charges against him. Now, what can we learn from this story? What's the first thing? Collective scream. Get your weapon first. This 90-year-old gentleman did just that. He heard the banging on the noise. He grabbed his weapon. Being 90 years old, I'll cut him some slack for hitting the guy in the leg. Okay, but normally we want to hit him center mass. If you're going to use it, you know, if you're going to pull that trigger, aim for the largest area you can so you don't miss. But good job for the 90-year-old man. All right, story number two. A disgruntled customer opened fire on employees in an IHOP during a late-night food run. The 25-year-old customer arrived at the restaurant to pick up a carryout order and argue with one of the employees over it. Eyewitnesses reported seeing the disturbed customer leave the chain restaurant and return with a pistol in hand. Police say the customer started firing at employees and killed a 56-year-old worker. One wounded employee pulled a concealed gun and returned fire at the shooter in defense of himself and others, killing the suspected attacker. The armed citizen was taken to the hospital for treatment. Well, I don't know if they didn't cook the food right. I don't know why this guy got angry. I don't know what the deal is. But the one thing that makes me raise an eyebrow, just because the way the story is written, is what took the other guy with the firearm so long to use it. The other thing, I think he did a great job for using it. And then I just wonder if IHOP suspended him because he probably wasn't allowed to carry on the property. Just interesting thoughts. Never know. But ladies and gentlemen, if you got a license to carry, be proficient with it. And if you got a license to carry, carry the darn thing. So God forbid anything happens, you're able to use it in a situation like this. Was that for us? Okay. Story number three. An armed citizen of the Hoosier State received an early morning surprise while entering his car. The Kokomo, Indiana resident was getting into his car when a suspicious man wearing a bandana entered his car without warning. The driver armed himself with his firearm and informed the suspect he was armed. This did not deter the would-be carjacker, who pulled out a handgun of his own. In response, the armed citizen fired several times at the suspect, who fled the vehicle without a fight and without firing his weapon. It is unknown if the suspect was struck, and the investigation is ongoing. Now, let me get this right here. The guy in the car pulls the gun out on the guy trying to carjack him. The driver armed himself with a and he missed. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's why it's so important to train when you're in a vehicle. We're actually doing some of that now in the advanced training. We're simulating shooting out of car windows, shooting at restaurants, and all these different things as compared to just standing in front of a paper target. You got to learn how to do all these different maneuvers and methods. So God forbid anything happens in a weird situation, you've at least done some type of practice and you're aware, proficient, familiarized with how to draw your weapon from awkward positions. So anyway, there we go. Three stories of self-defense from the Armed Citizens column. And now we're going to postpone that and move on to my observation piece. And I always have an observation or an opinion. This week is no different. And this one is titled, Everything Has a Price. Ladies and gentlemen, ain't nothing for free. Everything, one way or another, has a price. And unless you're broke or having a severe time making ends meet, getting something for free doesn't have the same value as something being earned. The quickest, easy, and most important example of this would be our freedom. Freedom isn't free. It's paid for with the price of blood by those willing to defend it with their lives. But the longer it goes and the less endeared it becomes, the more for granted it is taken. I've seen this in my training seminars and my license to carry classes. To many of those who were given the gift of my class from a friend or family member, most of the time their attitude is one of, oh, this is nice, but whatever, I'm having a good time. For those who paid with hard-earned money, the attitude changes. It changes to, I want to learn as much as I can. I want to get my money's worth. When it comes to my classes, I give my all because I know you're spending your hard-earned money. That's why I despise the PowerPoint presentations. In my opinion, one who uses PowerPoints does not know how to engage his or her audience, can't stand in front of people with confidence, and that they don't know the material inside out, upside down, and backwards. And believe me, the students will know if you know your material. They will leave the class feeling empowered, not bewildered. Free things are great when they come in a Happy Meal, but most of the time, you get what you pay for. And if you didn't pay anything, well, you're not going to get much or not get much out of it. I've also learned that giving things away as a marketing tool for business can backfire tremendously. The provider of services or goods who gives these away in hopes of getting more clientele usually just ends up with users. People who don't appreciate the efforts of things, of people or things trying to provide a service for the benefit of the people. It's like I say all the time on this show. It's the circle of life. I provide information that costs me my time and finances. Sponsors spend their money on this show because they believe in the show and also want to promote their services. Well, if the public only takes the freebies and doesn't support the efforts of the others, then we all lose. I would lose because I can't stay on the air doing what I love. The sponsors will stop supporting me because they're a business and need to pay their bills too. And the listening audience loses because the program is off the air. So, ladies and gentlemen, buy your Happy Meals with the free toy. Take all the free samples of manufacturers' products, but remember that without your support, it all goes away. Some things sooner than others. All right, Joel, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. We'll be doing the Sixth Amendment Part 2. See you on the other side.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 U.S. 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
It's a trust. As true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody. The Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is 10/21, Saturday, March 30th, 2019. And I am here, sitting to my left, is attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. This long segment is provided to you by Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm.
Let's go.
And respectforyou.com. Check it out. And we get Rick on here from time to time, but we've got attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. And last week, we've been doing the amendments. And we're on six, but six was so chock full of nuts here. That
man, we had so much to do last time, and this was one of my favorite amendments. But as you know, my favorite is the fourth and the first, maybe one. But man, these are the six is very important. Like I said, it's the criminal defense trial lawyer's tackle box.
That's right.
Okay, and it's very important. If you're going to be in the criminal defense business, you got to know your Sixth Amendment. And we've got a lot of fun cases, a lot of important things that you guys should know, and I hope to demonstrate today from what I was talking about at the very beginning. I said, if you listen to this series, you'll see that each one of these constitutional amendments is a hodgepodge. They each work together, each intertwined, right, to protect the other. And so let's get to it. So,
let's
today is the Sixth Amendment. To recap, and last time I broke the Sixth Amendment down into five pieces, but really it's more than that. But we're going to talk about probably the three most important, in my opinion, the ones that I think everybody can relate to today. The Sixth Amendment says, though, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district where the crime has been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. And so today I want to focus on really the importance of the jury trial, the importance of cross-examination, right to confront your witnesses, and the right to have a lawyer by your side throughout those proceedings. You remember we spoke, I got to tell the story last week about how even when the right to an attorney is so important to the assertion of all these other rights, and that's how we exercise these other rights, that even when a case might result in, may end in a horrendous, I'd say even atrocious result, courts are not only willing but mandated to throw it aside, to stonewall that prosecution. And even when it, like we said, resulted in a murder of a young girl.
Yep.
Okay, and so that's how important the right to counsel is. And just to tell, oh, by the way, so that brings me, we one of my favorite professors of all time, he's probably one of the best, many other students would agree with me, Jeffrey Korn, Professor Korn, expert in law of war and counterterrorism tactics, was a highfalutin, I call him JAG attorney for the prosecution, actually, listened to our show. He said he would kind of want to join, but he sent me an article that was very interesting about, is actually the Fifth Amendment, about the interrogation tactics. And I'm not going to get so much into that, but he made his case that he wants law enforcement to tell people that they have the right to remain silent. Not only that, but that their silence cannot be used against them. Their silence, right, will not be evidence against them. Their silence will not be used as a coercive tool as a sign of guilt, in other words. Mm-hmm. And so he wants an additional warning for the Miranda. And he makes his case by saying that the reason that we warn people about the right to counsel is because they don't know any better. They may be commonly and logically smart, but they're not legally smart. And they're subject to manipulation, to coercion, to just the environment, the adverse environment. People are not used to that. And I can tell you, as a defense attorney, just be quiet. Don't say anything and use that right. But it was so important. An attorney will tell you that. And so that just goes to show that how important that an attorney is. And if you think about it, when we started out in the England days, we had secret examinations. This goes into cross-examination of the witnesses. And I'm going to spill over a little bit into these because they're all kind of the same. They're protecting the same rights, okay? And so it would be magistrates questioning witnesses in secret, and then you'd go to trial, and then have, you know, affidavits that you couldn't cross-examine, and they didn't allow you to have a lawyer.
Who would put up with that?
It slowly evolved.
I'm surprised it slowly evolved and didn't, you know, have an uprising. Say, this is, forget this, man.
Oh, it did. So, you know, the story about Sir Walter Raleigh.
Yes.
And so he was accused of conspiring to murder the king, assassinate the king. And his co-conspirator simply testified in an affidavit. And he demanded that they give him the right to face his accuser and show him who it was and allow him to question, and so that he could further develop the case. And they didn't, and he was convicted. He was kind of in a pardoned in such a way, so he wasn't put to death at that time. But that was motivation for the founders to say, man, we don't want this. And it goes all the way back to Roman and Hebrew law. I think one of the Roman rulers, when the Apostle Paul, I think I got this one written down here, said that it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver a man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face. And it just goes to show that you have to be able to do this. But how are you going to cross-examine yourself? Think about it. You think about the right to testify. A lot of people say, well, if they don't testify, that means they're guilty. There's actually statistics showing that if you testify, there's probably more likely that you're going to be convicted.
Because you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself up when really you didn't have to, whereas being quiet, it's done in a more logical method from your attorney. It's making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, as compared to just spitting stuff out there and you didn't mean to say it, but once you say it, it's too late, it's out there in the public, right?
And two, yeah, and we ask jurors all the time, so why are some reasons that somebody wouldn't testify? Maybe they have a speech impediment. Maybe they're overly nervous. Maybe they're just not that smart. Maybe they just get really super nervous. Maybe there's tons of reasons why somebody would not. Maybe they feel like they're fat.
That's ridiculous.
I'm serious. People are ridiculous.
So then where do you draw the line when it comes to making someone testify or saying, if you don't testify, we're going to lock you up because you're holding
And so that's where the Fifth Amendment comes into play, right? You cannot be compelled to testify. Right, and the prosecution is not able to comment on that either. Okay, all of these things work together, and so you have to be able to use these rights. And so, in the colonial days, when they gave attorneys the right to cross-examine, this transformed the practice. So it went from us not being able to argue, us not being able to do anything, a judge controlling the entire trial, basically. And even when they had the right to a jury trial, the judge would have the right to cross-examine. The judge would make the rules. The judge really didn't give the jury as much weight as far as fact-finding. In other words, when the judge has determined certain facts, the jury couldn't second-guess that. They had to go with what he said. And so, and when they gave attorneys the right to start just cross-examining, it completely transformed the whole structure of our judicial practice. And so going from there, that goes to the jury trial. And I always talk to the jurors. If you're listening today, if you get your jury notice, man, it's an honor. It really is. And we appreciate you being there. And I know that sometimes it can be an inconvenience, but really take pride in getting that notice and showing up and doing that civic duty. And it goes back to the reasons that they said in Duncan versus Louisiana. It's a Supreme Court case from 1968. And it asked, why do we have the right to a jury trial? And the court answered that question. Right to trial by jury is granted to prevent oppression by government. It represents that inestimable safeguard against the corrupt or overzealous prosecutor and the compliant, biased, or eccentric judge. It reflects a reluctance to entrust powers over life and liberty to a group of government officials. And it concerns fear of unchecked power, and the deep commitment of the nation to the right of jury trial as a defense against arbitrary law enforcement. And this goes straight to the heart of, you guys are going to be told if you ever serve on a jury that you don't have the right to ignore the law, that you must follow the law in every instance, and that you have to follow it and just basically apply it to those facts, or the facts to the law in certain cases. And so I want to tell you that you absolutely have a right to disregard the law.
Let's go over that.
You absolutely have a right to nullify. There's been cases after cases after cases. Duncan's one of them. There's other very persuasive federal court opinions that talk about sometimes the juries were the only reason that blacks, right, didn't get convicted of things. They stonewalled certain prosecutions because it was just a wrong case. And if they had to follow the law in the case, maybe they would have convicted them, but it was not right. And so you absolutely have the right to nullify, and that's nullify the law. You have a right to ignore it. They're not going to tell you that at trial, okay, because they want you to fall within their little certain little elements. And hey, as a defense lawyer, if I'm arguing a self-defense claim, right, I'm probably going to say the same thing.
I don't understand why you, as an attorney, can say that, but the court won't tell the jurors that.
We can't tell them either. We'd probably get held in contempt here for doing that. But, yeah, I mean, you can't. No one can tell them, but I'm not in court today.
Wow.
So
I don't get that, man. What? That's just not right.
Yeah, and you're not, the state's not going to be able to appeal that. They're not going to be able to overturn that. If you decide that you're not going to convict in this case, regardless of what the law is, and that's what I spoke to Rick with in our session, we spoke about the grand jury. And so the importance of the grand jury in the day of the founding would have been the local grand jury pulled from the nearby location would know the fashions of the times and what's going on. You don't want a bunch of people from Pennsylvania deciding a bunch of things in Florida. Okay? And so if they felt like a law from England or a law that was maybe applied nationally, or not nationally at that time, is different colonies, but from Parliament, that they felt like was unfair to apply in those local colonies, they'd nobill it.
I have a question.
Same thing with the jury.
I want your opinion on something. Do you think the jury is swayed more by the facts, more by the person being the defendant, or by the attorney? Does the attorney have charisma that draws the jury into saying, you know, I like him, I'm going to follow him just because he's good at it? Or they look at the defendant and they're saying, you know, I can't believe this person would do that. And the way they're talking, it just doesn't fit them. Or something else. What is it?
You know, a lot of lawyers are going to tell you that you got to be likable. You got to have the jury like you. I think that regardless of what that opinion is, you've got to be able to have the jury listen to you. As long as you can have the jury listen to you and hear your side of the story and accept that, okay, then I think that you're doing a good job as an attorney.
The reason I said that was what you just said here. The jury doesn't have to go make a decision based on what the law is. So if they're like digging the defense attorney, and the guy, let's just say he's guilty of sin, but they like the defense attorney. They say, well, you know, he did a good case. We liked him. He handled himself good. You know, there might be some questions, but what the hell? We'll just let the guy go.
Well, here, I'll tell you this story. I don't mean to toot my horn, but I think it illustrates it. It's not really. It's kind of both ways. But after I got a not guilty in a jury trial, I was leaving. I was walking out. One of the jurors said, Mr. Watson, man, I just want to tell you, man, nobody liked you. You're a complete beep. You know, and man, I can't stand you either, but you're the best lawyer I've ever seen. And I'm not the best lawyer out there. I'm just saying, nobody liked me on that jury, but the point was is they all listened to what we had to say. And it wasn't a case where it was easy to be nice, and so I can understand why they might have felt like I was being overzealous at times, but... when you say, do you want jurors, are jurors going to listen to the facts? Are they going to listen to, you know, technical stuff? Are they going to listen to the law? A lot of times that depends on the case. A lot of times I'm going to want that guy who's very analytical. I'm going to want that guy that's going to look into everything, read between the lines. In another case, I'm going to want the guy that... It's not really there half the time. You know?
You bring up a great point because I teach that too. I teach personalities. I teach body language. All these different factors. So if you get like a personality who's a sanguine, the last thing they want to hear is detailed facts. They just want an overview of what's going on in a happy manner because they want to be happy. But you get a choleric, I believe it's phlegmatic, who wants the details. Is here for business and wants detail after detail. You, the attorney, giving them a flighty type of bit of information, he's gonna go, I can't deal with this guy. He's gonna listen to the guy who's giving him facts, you know?
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's exactly it. And so you want, my point is, you want somebody that's gonna listen to your side of the story. And I don't know if it was last week or with Rick, you know, when I used to work with Clyde Chandler, a lot of times one of my favorite things he would say is like, I'm not here to pick a fair jury. I'm here to pick somebody that's gonna listen to my side of the story.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's really true, right? So we're going to pick the jurors that we like, okay? And other attorneys will tell you, no, you don't pick. You deselect the bad ones. Clyde would tell you, I'm going to pick the jurors I like, and I'm going to make the state try to get them off, and hopefully I can make sure I got enough of the people that I wanted.
Is it hard for you to do a case knowing somebody's guilty but making sure that they get every right that they're still allowed?
I haven't had a case that has done that to me yet, but I can see. My first jury trial, I got a not guilty. I don't know how I did it. It was on a traffic ticket. He was driving while license invalid, and they had him on tape driving with no license, and the cop already knew he didn't have a license because he stopped him the day before. He's like, I was like, man, you need to take a plea deal, man. We need to plead this out. I don't even know how we're going to win. We're going to fight this. I was upset. I was like, man, you're wasting our time. It was not guilty. After that one, it was a wake-up call that, man, I mean, exercise your right. And so, I mean, I haven't had a case that touched me emotionally yet. I'm sure there would be some that would.
The only thing that would make me, if I was an attorney, I come from a family of attorneys. I got attorneys all around me, so I've got that attorney atmosphere in my brain, okay? But based on what you said about the girl who got murdered, but you got to maintain the laws. I think that's how I would apply it. It says, if I'm a public attorney for somebody who can't afford their own attorney and I've got to defend his rights or her rights, I would look at it in one way only, and that is, I know you're lying, I know you're crooked, I know you're guilty, whatever, but I'm sworn to make sure at least you get your rights so that you can be convicted legally. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, and so that's the way I look at it too. And 1 John 2:1, we're all entitled to an advocate.
Yes.
Okay. Who am I to judge? We all have an advocate in Him. And so when we talk about, my job is not to get you off. My job is to make sure that the government follows its procedure. Okay. My job is to make sure that the government follows the process like it's supposed to be done. Now, hopefully, I want to make money and I want to be in business and I love what I do. And so hopefully I want to be better than the next attorney. Okay. So sometimes that drives me to want to win. Okay. But at the same time, it's an adversarial process. So you can't have somebody that's not a competitor. Okay.
Yeah. But staying honest to yourself and still being competitive, that's the way to do it.
Correct. But just like any athlete, you got to have the integrity when you're competing.
Hmm?
And so I don't want to run out of time here, but I do want to talk some more about the confrontation clause. There's some interesting stuff, and I'll tell you, it's a fun case. Crawford versus Washington was one of the big ones, and it was where two guys basically got into a fight, and one gentleman ended up stabbing the other guy, and they ended up taking him to trial. And his wife was at the scene, and when the cops show up, they questioned his wife. And his wife, they got her on tape. And so when they went to trial, it was his wife, and he claimed what we talked about on the show already, the spousal communication privilege. He, the defendant, prevented his wife from getting on the stand and saying what she had said because it was contradictory to his self-defense claim. He was claiming self-defense, and what she said is, oh, he started it. Okay? The Supreme Court said that they could not, and so let me finish. And so what they did is they got the police officer to come up and play that videotape. And it was her testimony on that videotape saying that, he started it, you know, and so he couldn't use that self-defense claim.
Right.
And it raises a whole new, not a new idea. It was historical. Justice Scalia wrote that opinion. It was based totally on history. That's why he overturned this case. But can you imagine why this was overturned? A lot of people were upset about this, especially from the state, because it's a recording. It's a recorded video. Why can't they play that? Because nobody had the right to cross-examine the wife, neither did the defendant. Even though he prevented her from testifying, he still did not have the right to cross-examine her the time that she made that tape. And because she was unavailable and there was no right to cross-examine, and it was what we would call testimonial, in other words, it was within the confines of an interrogation made for the purposes of criminal prosecution, the police were talking to her,
mm-hmm.
right, for the purposes of bringing a charge, it was a testimonial statement that the defendant had no right to cross-examine the witness for. And so it's very strong. I mean, this of all the constitutional rights, and that's why I love the Sixth Amendment, these are the ones, right, that I still feel like have some teeth. Fourth Amendment's basically useless now. First Amendment's very strong in some cases, but not in others. It's lost some of its teeth. Even Professor Korn argues about how many exceptions that they've made to the Miranda requirement, and actually it supports police now instead of protecting defendants like it was supposed to do. And you know that we talked about the Second Amendment, obviously it wasn't incorporated and we didn't have a lot of cases on that at the time, but it's always being litigated. There's always cases finding exceptions for this, and it's just the government slowly chewing away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, by the way, it's not all Professor Cornsby. He probably disagrees with me on some of the Fourth Amendment stuff.
Well, get him on.
Prosecutor of the state.
Get him on.
Yeah,
let's talk to him.
You don't even understand. Man, you wouldn't want to do the show anymore. That's how good he is. But we need these rights, and these Sixth Amendment rights are still ones that have stuck around, and they're still as strong today, if not stronger than ever, except there's, and this applies too. We're going to see, you'll see some of the, like if you got to get you on a DWI case, I'm going to hope that they try to submit an affidavit. Right? Just like they did, we're doing in England and in the early colonial days,
right.
Submit an affidavit, right, saying that your blood alcohol is such when that person is nowhere to be found to cross-examine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so all this drives the prosecutors crazy because it's hard for them to try to get all of these expert witnesses from around the state to come here. But they've got to. And it only makes sense because I promise you, those lab techs, there has been many that have been, when I say many, I don't want to say many, but there has been a lot of cases that have been overturned because of just not neglect, but intentional wrongfulness on the part of the state lab tech.
Or wow.
And there's also been, we tried a case here on the manslaughter DWI, and the blood The blood wasn't even the right blood. And so, and we would not have known that. We would not have known that had we not, right, taken that case of trial. Even though we had an idea about that beforehand, there would have been no way for us to show that if we would not have gotten the person. So it's not just reliability. It's not just reliability of that evidence, like science evidence. It's the manner and the way that it's presented. And that's why you need a lawyer. And so don't talk to the police. Get a lawyer. I'm not saying get me. Just get somebody before you go talk to them. Because I promise. And I talk about one of my really good friends. I say she works for the sheriff's department. Really bitty, cute as a bug Mexican girl. Goes all around, everywhere. Goes way out in the woods, talking to the tweakers, right? And all by herself. Has no backup. Gosh, I'd be like, man, I don't want to go here by myself, right? And she goes, I know how to talk to people.
That's a good thing, yeah. It's a good thing to know.
Police officers know how to talk to people, and so they're gonna know how to ask you questions.
They do.
Well, they know how to interrogate people.
That's probably better.
And so it's like when you said, "So, did you smile when you slapped your mom in the face?" Well, how are you gonna answer that question? I mean, it assumes you did it.
No, I didn't smile. Oh, so you did it. Yeah, I do smile. Oh, you did it.
Yeah, they're good at those questions. Okay, and they're good. And I'm not saying they're crooked or something like that. They're doing their job. They're doing their good. That's fine. Right? But you need to be aware of your rights. And so, because sometimes, I'm telling you, sometimes innocent people say dumb stuff, man. I can testify we've had innocent people that have been charged. They've gone through the rigors of prosecution. And then we've come back. Right, and undone the case. Okay, we've gone all the way to a couple days before trial, and it comes out, we find out something else. But everybody knew they were guilty because they said stupid stuff. And I promise you this stuff happens.
So what I've learned so far is that it doesn't matter what happens in the courtroom, the jury can override it and always use the fifth so I don't get myself in trouble.
Always use the fifth. Not a fifth, but the fifth. Yes, always be aware of the Fifth Amendment. Make sure you don't sleep on that right and your Sixth Amendment right to an attorney. Okay, there's so many good cases I could have went into, but we just didn't have the time. But I wanted to convey and stress the importance of using your rights in the justice. Without the First Amendment, your lawyers wouldn't be able to speak. Without the Sixth Amendment, you wouldn't be able to assert the First Amendment. Without the Fifth Amendment, they could just put you in there and make you testify against yourself, even if you couldn't otherwise do it and you had no representation. I mean, without the Fourth, they could get your papers and use that against you. Okay, all of these things are intertwined. And hopefully, if we get anything from the show, it's to try to, some changes are good, but other changes I feel like have gone too far. Like with there's one exception to the Confrontation Clause rule that I don't like, and a lot of people disagree with me, but it's in like a child sexual assault case. Okay, they don't, a lot of times courts won't make them be face to face when they testify. And I feel like, man, I get it. I understand your argument, but man, kids lie, man. Kids make stuff up. Kids, I've used a child from the defense standpoint to win a case, okay? And they're powerful. They're powerful. And so it's like, man, they put them up there, but they do lie, man. And for some reason, people think they don't.
Yeah, they do. They do for sure.
And so respect the right to have the crucible of cross-examination. Always exercise your right to a lawyer and be proud to stand on a jury.
You know, kids younger and younger are getting more smart, more savvy as to how the world works because of that electronic device that they have in their hand.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when they see all this stuff going on, it's almost, in my opinion, in my observation, it becomes almost like a game to them. How far can I pull the truth or stretch the truth to get what I want or just to mess things up or shake it up or be the highlight of the day?
But, man, I promise you I don't just do criminal defense work. I do family law cases, too. I do guardianship type of cases. They are susceptible. They're not always lying. Man, kids are so susceptible to manipulation. Mm. And eyewitness testimony is the most are at least one of the top three most unreliable pieces of evidence there is. And that's why it's important to have the right to cross-examine somebody's memory. Did they really see what they think they're remembering? Okay, I can tell you so many cases of several Justice League type of organizations, that Innocence Projects and things like that, that have gotten cases overturned based on eyewitness testimony.
Is that just one individual? If you got two or three saying the same thing, then you're pretty much...
Oh, but it's not always limited to one witness. But obviously, there's going to be some things that, if you got two or three witnesses to remember one aspect, but...
To draw the guns back into this, when I teach my license to carry class, speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, I got a class at 2 o'clock. I got a couple spots open if you want to participate in. Give me a call at the show here, 254-697-6633. But when I'm teaching the class, I'm telling people, look, somebody breaks in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, you shoot them in the living room, they're bleeding out on your floor, the police are going to come, they're going to ask you questions, but you're probably going to have the option if you want to sleep in your room that night or get a hotel room, right? Right. But if you're on the corner of 5th and Main, and you do the same thing, and you hold your ground, because it's a castle doctrine, where you can hold your ground, you don't longer have to run, you can stand your ground, and you shoot somebody there on the corner of 5th and Main, there's 10 other witnesses, and each one has a different vantage point, what you say may be a little bit different from each one of the witnesses who sees it. So a verbal or eyewitness account can actually be not as accurate as you think it would be.
Correct. Okay. And so, I mean, it doesn't help you always. Right. Yeah. And they're seeing it from a different vantage point.
That's why I'm saying the whole purpose of that illustration was, if you're going to pull it out, make sure you have a darn good reason to be doing it.
And, too, they may not have, if they're not in the vicinity that you're in, they may not have felt right. that it was that threatening of an issue. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people think that they're better than other people, and that was unreasonable. When they were in that situation, they probably would have done the same thing. A lot of times it's hard to try to convey that to people. So even though I have represented guilty people, sometimes I just feel like the prosecution's overreaching, or, man, yeah, maybe they violated technically, but, man, this was a tough set of facts for anybody.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Anything else you want to go over real quick? Because what we're going to do, we're basically doing this numerically, 1 through 10. However, Rick shows a lot of passion and favoritism. He wants to do the 7th Amendment, but I'm not sure of his schedule. So you may be doing the 8th next week if you're around.
Okay.
It just all depends on what's going on. But do you have anything left for this one? Any final words, parting words?
Again, don't sleep on the 5th. Okay, don't sleep with a 5th. Yeah. Exercise those rights. Serve on a jury. Take pride in it, man. And if you feel uncomfortable, really, I would recommend you getting a lawyer anyway. But it was a DWI stop. Some lady said, "I want to talk to my lawyer, Clyde Chandler," and then she fell out. I never said, "Man, that was great." But no matter what situation you're in, even if it feels uncomfortable for you, make sure you assert that right to a lawyer. Police questioning will stop. And, man, always make sure that, you know, you're able to confront the witness. Always have that option open. So
I was noticing a card here. It's, I don't know what this is for, but it's City of Rockdale Get Out of Jail Free card. Look, I'll show it to you in the camera.
That's not mine.
I'm like, where the heck did this come from? It's a Monopoly card. Anyway. Okay, tell them how they get a hold of you. Tell them about Rick. Respect for you, the whole works.
Oh, yeah, respectforyou.com. Rick Dodd, thanks for sponsoring the show. If you got anything that shows lack of respect for you by injuring your person or violating your liberties, that especially some of the things we've been talking about today, you can holler at me or Rick. My number is 254-605-4140. Really, we love calls about the show. That's why I do this. I love getting the word out. And so we get a lot of emails. If you do email me, make sure you leave your phone number. My email is benton@watson.legal. That's benton@watson.legal. You can come holler at me at 105 East Main Street here in Cameron. Big Milk on the side. Can't miss it.
Sounds great. Ross, thank you very much. Rick, thank you. Coupling the Dodd Cribs Law Firm. Joel, let's take us out. When we come back after this commercial break or block of commercials, we'll be having the delicious Janae Goodman, and we're going to talk about bug out bag essentials. Nice follow up since we talked about it last week. See you on the other side.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
Hello, my lovelies, and thanks for tuning in to a truly tactical segment of Tactical Snacking with me, Janae Goodman. I've got a very special request this week to give you the ins and outs of what food you should pack in your bug-out bag. I figured I should start the segment with a reminder of what a bug-out bag is. So, if you're a regular listener, you would know that it is an emergency bag that you want to prepare ahead of time for when things go south. So, basically, if you need to make a quick getaway in an emergency situation, you have your survival essentials with you. I can't think of anything that would be more essential than sustenance, and that being your food source. Here are a few things you want to keep in mind when packing food in your bug-out bag. Make sure your food choices are non-perishable, lightweight, and involve very little to no cooking. You don't want anything that'll spoil or anything that's going to take a ton of preparation. That said, you'd also don't want to pack any canned items or go crazy on bulky ready-to-eat meals. Nutrition content is an important factor as well. Customize it for your personal needs and consult your doctor or dietitian if you have any health-related dietary restrictions. For instance, if you have diabetes, celiac, or kidney disease, your bug-out essentials may look a little bit different. Diabetics may want to pack a couple of items that'll spike sugar levels in the case of an unsafe drop in blood sugar. Liver disease patients may stray away from large amounts of proteins and sodium, and celiacs, of course, would want to stray away from any gluten-based products. At the end of the day, no bug-out bag is going to look the same. For all my normies out there, this is not your time for any low-fat diet options. It is best to pick foods that are higher in calories and have a balanced amount of carbs, proteins, and fats. Trust me, you're going to need them if you're following up with an emergency plan. You need to keep in stable condition and make sure you have plenty of energy. I think dehydrated foods or dried snacks go right on the top of this list. That includes jerky, which can be found in a variety of flavors, and it can last up to 2 years if it's unopened. Jerky is low in calories, but it's a straight shot of protein. Dried foods also include fruits such as apples, bananas, apricots, and cranberries, which are all higher in sugar content, which will equate to carbs when digested. They also have a decent number of calories in them. Protein and meal replacement bars come in all sorts of brands and flavors. Clif, Kind, and Lara bars, just to name a few. Try them out and find your favorites. They're relatively cheap, and they have a decent shelf life when kept at room temperature. Not to mention that they take the place of a meal, and they can come in a convenient travel-sized pouch. I don't recommend you making your own protein or granola bars because you want to be able to have a preservative in them to make sure that they last for a while. Other lightweight protein-packed snacks include peanut butter, assorted nuts such as peanuts and cashews, and fish or chicken vacuum pouches. Peanut butter comes in an individual size cup or squeezed pouches for on-the-go use. They're a perfect size for a packed bag. This is the same for your vacuum pouches and nut packets. Water is a must for your bug-out bag. You can last up to 60 days without food, but without water, your body can't survive more than a week. If you're not up for keeping a bottle of water in your bag just for the sake of space or weight, at least invest in water purification tablets. They're used to treat water sources that are deemed unsafe to drink, and a simple internet search can find you a very low-cost, yet very effective product. Water should be kept on hand for hydration, of course, and can also be used to reconstitute shelf-stable or dried foods, such as powdered milk or dried mashed potato flakes. Wherever salt goes, water goes. This was an important tip shared by a very close friend of mine. Celine Burns has a degree and background in recreational activity, and she informed me that salt makes your body hold on to water. So consuming salt when water may be in limited supply could potentially save your life. Salt also helps replace electrolytes that get lost as we sweat. She suggests packing ramen noodle blocks to help you with your salt retention. These noodle blocks are great because they can be eaten both cooked and uncooked, and they don't cost you more than 20 cents per package. Going through Harvey, I oversaw the kitchen essentials preparation in the event of the power outage. Turns out I wasn't the only one, because after dealing with Hurricane Ike a few years back, many Houstonians did not want to relive being unprepared for a week-long power outage. I could tell by the lack of grilling and propane supplies I had to choose from the grocery store. This did, however, lead to me stumbling across a very neat item. It was an emergency stove, or folding stove, that was basically a sterno underneath an aluminum frame. Now, this does take up a little bit of room in your bag, of course less than a grill would, but if you feel like you need a heat source and you don't think that you're a great fire starter, I would definitely recommend it to you. Regardless of if you're a regular fire starter or you're brand new to this, pack a stick lighter. It's best to be prepared for anything. Matt says it often enough, but I think it bears repeating. Fail to prepare and prepare to fail. Now is the time to get your essentials in check, and be sure to write down your food items in your bug-out bag checklist. As always, hit me up at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com with your questions for this and other segments. Stay safe out there, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Mitchell Radio Program. Again, it's March 30th, 2019. I'm sorry. I apologize. When I hear good rock and roll, I just gotta let it roll, man. It's good. Gets me going. All right, ladies and gentlemen, retired police chief Randy Dixon unfortunately couldn't be here with us today, so I'm going to take up his spot. And I wanted to talk about advanced training. I've mentioned it before on the show. I mention it all the time to my students that shooting is a perishable skill. Now, if you're a bad shooter, let it perish. Okay, but if you've become proficient and you're pretty good and you're at a certain standard or a certain level, if you don't maintain your practice, you're going to lose it. It's going to perish. It's going to reduce in its excellence and its ability to do what you want it to do, because what you're doing with a firearm is making it in an extension of you. When you put that firearm in your hand, if it's a handgun, you put the gun in your hand and you put it out there and you're going to go shoot a target, that bullet, the projectile, has an attorney attached to it. Okay. It's waiting to see where it's going to go. And it can land in the most safest place, and an attorney can still flip and spin it around and make it seem like you did a bad thing. But you have to be really careful as to what's behind your target, you know, your backstop and what's beyond and all that. Okay, so you have to be careful. And that being proficient when using a handgun is extremely important. Now, obviously, I'm pretty good, okay? I've gotten to the point, I've done lots of practice, so on and so forth. But there's been a block of time recently where I hadn't practiced. And I could tell I was losing my edge. And it's still a sharp edge, but I was losing the edge, thinking, you know, I gotta get back in the range. I gotta start doing all this stuff. And not just shooting at a piece of paper. I'm talking the draw, the grip, the trigger squeeze, the point shooting, the maneuvering, the multiple targets, all these different things. So I got a group of guys together that come to the shop all the time. And I'll tell you, I'm very proud of this. I'm very proud of this. My shop, Aaron's Gun Shop in Cameron here, has produced some of the finest shooters I know, because they're serious. And once they put the block of time in to get themselves to a certain proficiency level, it doesn't take that much to maintain it. However, if you stop that little bit to maintain it, it will deteriorate. Okay. So we got together. We were serious about it, doing it every week, bought a whole bunch of ammo, coming up with different methods and concept ideas as to what to practice. And why did I get the team? It's because it's always better to train with somebody else. You get to watch somebody else. You get to see somebody else. They get to watch you, and they pick up things that you may not have seen before. And here's a big thing, a huge thing, is recording yourself. One of the guys on the team, he recorded all of us shooting, and I was watching one of my my videos of me shooting from a restaurant table, you know, basically a mock restaurant table. And it was very interesting to see every frame, every step, every manipulation, every thought process, because everything that happens with the gun is a subconscious thought. It can't be a primary thought, because your primary thought's on the threat. These things have to be built into you. Innate decisions as to what to do, how to do it, where to do it, what manner to do it, it has to be practiced out. So when you're in a scenario, let's say you're in a restaurant behind a table and you're in a booth and the booth seats don't move, you got to learn how to pivot, got to learn how to draw while you're sitting, point shoot with accuracy because you got a whole restaurant full of people. You got to make sure you're not shooting people behind the threat. If you have to change a mag, what's your procedure for doing it? Have you practiced it? All the while knowing your firearm inside and out, so that you don't have to concentrate on your firearm. You don't have to think about your firearm. Knowing your extra magazines and where they are they placed right, and how to index the weapon into your line of sight so that you can insert the extra mag in there if your gun runs empty. There's all these things. So watching the video, I would watch it over and over and over and over again, frame by frame. It was amazing. I picked up like three or four different things that I noticed that was, hey, that's great, or hey, I could do this a little bit better. So getting together with other people is a great idea, but you got to be serious about it. It's not a picnic. The picnic is for after. Go do your training, be of like mind, be serious, do the training, but you got to make sure that you're with somebody who basically knows what they're doing. The worst thing, the worst problem I have is teaching people how to get out of bad habits. That's why I'm so excited when I get a student who's a clean slate, so to speak. They haven't shot or have been taught by somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing. And so I can teach them from the get-go, and their ability to increase their proficiency picks up tenfold because there's no bad habits to get rid of. The other thing is women. I'd have to say the majority of women that I train pick it up super fast because women have a tendency to want to listen as compared to guys who think they know it all. That's just the way it is, okay? Now, if you get a woman who's been trained by somebody and she's got bad habits, the same process. But if you get a majority of the times a woman's willing to listen, or if I get a new person who's got a clean slate, extremely fast to teach them. Now, what do we do in this group of people? I kind of mentioned a bunch of things already, but the first thing we do is we warm up. We want to make sure, you know, the basic fundamentals of drawing the weapon from the holster and hitting it on the target have not been diminished. So we'll spend, you know, 10 minutes just shooting about 10, 15 rounds. We'll all cycle through saying, okay, you know, got a good feel. But on the bad side of that is, God forbid something happens, you got to shoot cold. Shooting cold means you didn't have time to do those 15 rounds and warm up and make sure the gun's working right and your holster's in place and the magazines are where they're supposed to be and your shirt's not in the way and all this kind of stuff. You're going cold. So that's going to be another aspect of the training that we do is when we first come into the range, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to see if we can hit our targets on the move in a threatening situation on a cold shoot. So very important. We're also going to be doing multiple guns, round robins. We do the round robin competitions for a reason. It teaches us how to manipulate somebody else's firearm, God forbid, if we can't use our own. And like Clint Smith from Thunder Ranch says, if you're in a big gunfight, there's going to be guns around. They may be empty, but and they may be on the ground. Some of them will be loaded, some of them won't. But if you have familiarization with a firearm and can look at it just from a distance and have a general idea how it works and what potential condition it's in the sense of, is the slide locked to the rear? Is the magazine out? Is the slide forward? Is the hammer down? Is the safety on? All the basics that you need to know. When people come to my classes, license to carry class, and today is one of them at 2:00, and there's still time for two or three more people to join, just give me a call here at the studio. We'll take your name down. But when you come to the class, I just totally lost my train of thought. Anyway, we got a call. Maybe they want to take the class. Joel, see who that is. But there's a lot of things that go on in the class that are very important to know, and I stress them highly because if you don't know them, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. What do we expect? What do we expect out of our training? Is that a call for us? I'll tell you what. Let me stop talking. Let's take the call. Welcome to the Aaron's High Gap Adventure Radio Program. You are on the air. Who am I talking to?
Matt, this is Butch.
Butch, what's going on, man? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I just want to thank you for letting me be part of your team. It has been very, very good practice, and if a person carries, and hopefully, like you talked about, not needing it, you better practice. And I'm just thank you for letting me train with you to get better.
Well, I'll tell you what, Butch, I was referencing you and some of the other guys of how the shop there is producing some really great shooters. You came in there as a, you know, a good rifle shooter, but you weren't really familiar with the handguns. But you're the type of guy who listens and applies and tries this or that, and you've become extremely proficient. But not just shooting and hitting the piece of paper. I watch you in these competitions, and you'll have malfunctions, and you don't even think. You just handle that gun. You don't have to. You just maintain focus on the target or the threat, and you just manipulate the gun without even thinking. So, I mean, you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you, but it's just person has to put the time in, and that's be my first recommendation is people put their time in to be able to handle a situation, and then you hope you never have the situation. You know,
that's right. Absolutely. That's a soldier. He wants to train, but hopefully the mindset, he doesn't want to go to war, but he's ready to if necessary.
Yes, and I just want to thank you for letting me be part of your team.
Well, I thank you for wanting to join it. We're having a good old time, and I can't wait for tomorrow to do it again.
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, Butch. Well, I appreciate you, man. You take care of yourself, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Butch, he's one of the team. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I remember when he came in here and he could hit the paper, but there's all these different things that he has learned. And my gosh, it's incredible. He's a guy you want on your team. I got a whole bunch of other guys too. And some ladies as well. It's just a matter of what your mindset is. And it doesn't take that long if you just open yourself up and listen to it. Now, look, here's the other thing too. Everybody out there has a skill. Everybody does. My skill happens to be protection. And the only difference between what I do and what you're very good at is probably a good chances if you screw up what you're doing, nobody dies. If I screw up, I die, or maybe I don't take a clean shot or whatever. That's not acceptable. There is no room for error. So if you burn a cake or a pie or whatever, you make another one. If I shoot wrong and hit somebody else, that bullet went somewhere and I got to deal with it. We got another call? Oh, phones are hopping. All right. You are on the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. I'm Matt. Who are you?
Hey, this is Lee.
Lee, what's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. How you doing?
Oh, doing good this morning. Doing good. On call. I had no calls, so it's a good day so far.
Well, yeah, what's the weather out there? Kind of wet and rainy, so you should be all right.
Ain't nobody going to call. Yeah, we call this window weather today.
Well, give your business a plug, man.
Climate Control AC and Heating. Yes, yeah. Sir.
He does a great job.
AC and heating
guy.
Issues. Yes, sir.
All right, Lee, you're calling up. Why are you calling? What's up?
I just wanted to, you know, kind of same thing Butch was saying, man. Just I sure appreciate, you know, what you're doing with the range. I know it's definitely helping me. I used to come out to the range all the time. You know, every Friday I was out there pretty much, and then that kind of slacked off, and it showed. You know, I noticed that I'd go out and shoot, you know, maybe once a month, once every month and a half, and I wasn't near what I was when I was there all the time, mm-hmm. and that made me start worrying.
And Lee, I'll tell you what, you're another guy who listens to instruction. You know, you can tell when somebody's listening and trying to apply because their body gets a certain way. They cock their head towards you. They look at you. They head nod, acknowledge, and then they apply it. They may not apply it perfectly the first time, but you know that they're trying. And you do that, and you've done it enough where you're a very good shooter. So keep up the good work.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. And, you know, like I've been listening to the show this morning, like you're saying, man, the video thing, that really helps. I've noticed things on myself, you know, like my draw. I should pull, you know, draw, come up, push out. I've been noticing myself just swinging out of my holster, you know.
Yeah, we call that what, pendulum, right?
Pendulum, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, he brought up a good point. What it is, when the gun comes out of leather, quote-unquote leather, kydex, whatever, your second hand should be coming onto the weapon as quickly as possible. And the gun should be pointed to the threat, not in an upward swinging motion like a pendulum, but as though it's coming up a ramp, a gradual raising of the weapon into your line of sight pointed at the threat. And the reason being is if I swing it up like a pendulum and I'm trying to aim center mass, I may shoot before I get to center mass, or I may overswing center mass and shoot past center mass. That's the other reason why I'm not too keen on shoulder rigs, because when the gun comes out of the shoulder and you start swinging across, you're causing a horizontal arc, and you could shoot prior to hitting the threat, or you could swing through the threat. So what he was saying there was he's watching his videos and he's seeing that he's swinging, so he's going to work on that, right, Lee?
Definitely got to work on that. Yeah, man, just everything we're doing up there, it's got me excited, man. I feel that, you know, we've been doing it, what, this will be our third week that we've done it.
Major advancements already.
I've noticed big advances already, you know. I mean, it's just practice.
And we're only spending about probably 2 hours or so. So that's,
yeah.
And that's rotating 5-6 people through with 2 hours.
Yeah.
So the amount of actual range time you're getting is not that much, but by watching and doing yourself, it's amazing how much you advance on it. So that's great. I'm glad you're getting a lot out of it.
Yeah,
I can't wait for tomorrow. And I'm glad you're listening.
Brother.
Thanks for listening to the show.
All right, take it easy, man.
All right, buddy, take care.
All right, bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you hear. I didn't expect those guys to call, but this is great follow-up to what I was saying. So if you've got people who want to learn how to shoot better, you want a little personal group team of your own, I mean, I organize those things and we can coordinate it and we can figure out how we can get it done for you. Obviously, there's a cost for coming down to the range, but there's always, you got to always pay something for something that's worth it, right? Because remember, ain't nothing for free, right? You know what my observation piece said? So I'll tell you what, Joel, let's take a break. We're running a little bit out of time. I'm running long on this segment. We'll take a break. But ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a group of people, let's say five or six people who want to get together and really learn how to shoot better their handguns, give me a call, 254-697-4721, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. But I'll be honest with you. I'll be quite frank and honest with you. I don't want you if you're not serious. Okay? It's not about the money. Yes, you're going to pay me, but it's not about the money, really. It's about if you are motivated, you motivate me. And if you motivate me, I guarantee you, you're going to get some good training. Okay? All right, Joel, take a break. When we see you on the other side, we'll do our devotional minute and we'll do our product spotlight. See you on the other side.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from Ebco Development in Cameron. Okay, so one of those bargain home improvement workers hurt himself on the job. Who pays? You do. Because his low prices don't include insurance for problems like that. So you think you got a bargain? Wrong answer. So why take chances? Ebco Development has been there for you since 1984. Remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. Call us first. We're Ebco Development. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms,
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, March 30th, 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in the devotional minute section of the program. And in case you're not aware, Monday through Fridays, I send out testimonials, devotionals to a long list of people who want to get it. And I usually do it 2 to 4 in the morning. So I want to share that with you. If you are interested in receiving these, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Give me your name and you heard on the radio you want me to put you on the list. I send out the devotionals to each person individually. I don't send them in groups, so there's no chance for anybody else to know who's getting it. And I'm going to read to you today one that I've selected out of the week, and it was for Thursday, and it reads as follows. Good morning. What do the Bible and John Wick have in common, you ask? Just pretend you asked, okay? There are weapons that can be used for any situation. As John Wick can turn any object into a weapon for survival, in movies, of course, the Bible is the weapon of choice for Christians. The Bible has an answer for every situation in life, and if used correctly, can overcome. I just lost my spot. Used correctly, can overcome any challenge that we may face. But John Wick trains continuously, and we must too when it comes to knowing God's word. How can we apply a weapon if we don't know how or understand it, how to use it or understand it? This is from Ephesians 6:10 through 13. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Have a blessed day. So, ladies and gentlemen, I text what the Lord impresses upon me to text, and I leave it to him. So I don't worry about what to say or what to text. I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm a vessel. Just tell me what you want. I'll put it out there. And hopefully when it touches people on the other side of the phone, they can somehow be drawn closer to you and do your word. So if you want to be part of the list, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Tell me who you are. Tell me you heard it on the show. Tell me you want to be on the list. Give me your number. And remember, I send it to you individually, not in a group text. So that's that. All right. Now let's go to our product spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz, the owner, known him for, gosh, long time, probably 25 years now. And he's consistently the same. Nice guy, very generous, runs a good shop. He's got a great staff. Clint, Mike, Dennis, they got pistols, rifles, shotgun, ammo, accessories, reloading equipment, the works, okay? So if you got something that you want, give them a call, 254-983-4417. And what they have on the shelf right now is the Ruger EC9S. And I'm going to read to you an article from AmericanRifleman.org by Bill Horman. And the reason I want to read this, I found it interesting because I didn't know the history or the lineage of how this worked. So if you're into the LC9s, the LCP2s, you'll see the connections here. As we near the end of the second decade of the 21st century, the subcompact 9mm semi-automatic pistol has taken its place at the top of the pocket pistol and daily carry hill. These guns have become so popular because they provide a level of performance on par with the venerable 5-shot 38 Special revolver with the slim profile and quicker reloading speeds of the less powerful pocket 380s. Ruger has had its thumb firmly in the pocket 9 pie since the beginning of the decade with the LC9. The recent addition of the EC9S to the lineup shows that the product is continuing to evolve in order to meet market demands. The original Light Carry 9, or LC9, was based on the successful Light Carry pistol, LCP, chambered for the 380 ACP cartridge. To accommodate the larger, more powerful 9mm round, the slide length and grip height were stretched by about an inch, and the gun was generally beefed up all around, nearly doubling the weight from 9.6 ounces to 17.2 ounces. The first version of the LC9, with its exposed hammer, double-action trigger, manual thumb safety, and magazine disconnect, was launched during the 2011 SHOT Show. The original trigger was universally panned by the public and critics alike for its heavy, sluggish pull. Amen to that. It was terrible. That's me speaking. that it was terrible on the LCP, it was terrible on the LC9, but they heard the call and they fixed the call, and trust me, it's a much better trigger. The trigger issue was neatly remedied in July 2014 with the arrival of the LC9's lowercase s in the name, standing for striker fired. The exposed hammer was replaced with an end plate, and the integral safety lever was added to the trigger, while the magazine disconnect and thumb safety remained intact. The LC9's Pro model started shipping at the end of 2014. The Pro moniker indicates that the pistol does not have a magazine disconnect and will fire when the magazine removed. That's a big thing. I won't carry a gun with a magazine disconnect. And those guns had magazine disconnect. So the Pros, they eliminate that. So if you don't like a magazine disconnect but you do like the gun, voila, there you go. When I mentioned my fondness for the LC9's Pros to a Ruger representative at the trade show a few months later, I was given a tidbit of confidential information. Ruger was planning to launch a new version of the LC9s called Everyday Carry 9, EC9S. That would slash, this is the big thing, that would slash the suggested retail price from $450 to $300. And how would this impressive price cut be accomplished? Fixed sights. Really? That's it? Yes. The dovetailed removable three-dot sight system would be replaced with milled-in sights instead. That particular change in the pistol's manufacturing process would drop the price that much, making the new pistol one of the most competitively priced options in its class. The EC9S is a standard model with a magazine disconnect. In order to safely facilitate the field stripping process, which requires the trigger to be pressed, Ruger provides a bright orange filler plate to be installed in the grip in place of the magazine. The blue steeled 7-round magazine ships with the flush fit and extended finger rest bust base plate. Remember, this is not a sporting or a hunting handgun. It's intended for close quarters defense against threats at arm's length to across the room distances. The fixed sights do the job. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be quite frank and honest with you. If you use your sights for self-defense at that close proximity, you're going to lose. The bad guy's not going to stand there long enough for you to take aim. That's why you need to learn point shooting. That's why you need to come to me. You come to me, I'll have you point shooting lickety-split, fast and accurate. At the shooting range, the EC9s had the same familiar feel as the LC9. The trigger exhibited a smooth trigger pull of 5 pounds, 5 ounces, with a longer stroke similar to that of a double-action revolver. If you haven't figured it out by now, I like the Ruger LC9S series of semi-automatic pistols so much that I bought one for myself before conducting any formal reviews. The new fixed sight EC9S provides nearly all the same advantages as the LC9S model, but at a lower price. Whichever you choose, these pocket 9mm is a lot of bang for the buck. Now, let me clarify this. The LC9 has the adjustable sights, which makes the price more expensive. The EC9, the everyday carry one, is just fixed sight, so they're able to pump it out of the manufacturer a lot quicker, a lot easier, a lot cheaper. So you get the same gun, cheaper price. It's a great point shooting weapon. If you've got small hands, this would be a good weapon for you because the grip, it's a single stack. The grip is small. Like I got the Ruger Security 9. It's great. Double stack, high capacity, but I got a bigger hand so I can handle it. But if you got a smaller hand, this grip is thinner. You can wrap your hand around it and you can reach that trigger with no problem. So it's a good gun. It feels good in the hand. The price is right. Give A&C Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the show. Support the sponsors and support the program. It's a circle of life, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing's for free. You got to support the sponsors, support the show. Otherwise, the show goes off the air. Okay. With that, Joel, let's take another break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to a very special guest, me. Okay. See you on the other side.
Coons, the owner of A&C Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to A&C Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. A&C Firearms, 254-983-4417. 24-17.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from EBCO Development. For more than 25 years, you've been able to find EBCO Development in the phone book. How many other companies are still listed along with us? It's a good question. Check it out and see for yourself. So why take chances? EBCO Development has been there for you since 1984. Quality remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. That's EBCO Development. Call us first at 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. I think I want to change the format of this program. I think I want to change it to a rock and roll show. What do you think, Joel? We got enough rock and roll music to do that, don't we? I don't know if y'all like rock and roll or you like your polka music, but I'll tell you, polka rock and roll. Can we do that? Polka rock and roll. Anyway, stick to my day job. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. I don't have a guest today because I wanted to go over some things. You hear me on the radio here, but I wanted to make sure you understood what this radio show does, what the gun shop does. So I'm going to spend just a few minutes before we go over some penal code as to where you can go with a concealed weapon and where you can't go, okay? What is Aaron's offer? It's got a great radio show that you're listening to now covering the following topics. We've got true stories of self-defense analyzed by me. And the reason I've done that from the beginning is because we can learn from other people's mistakes or other people's successes. We can go, huh, didn't think about that one. Or, hey, I'm not going to do that one. But what we have learned from reading those stories is one of the biggest things we've learned is when you hear something, don't investigate it first. Get your weapon first. That's one of the biggest things I push. The other thing is, if you're going to shoot your weapon, don't try to wing them. You're meant to stop the threat. If that's what you're going to do, you better take a good shot. And be prepared to do follow-up shots and have as much ammunition as you can possible. When it's the gun for the home, it should have a flashlight on it. It should be high capacity. It should be one that you can get to quickly, easily, know how to use. And like I said, have a flashlight on it. So that's a great part of the program, even though it's a short segment. It can be funny, it can be serious, and it can be definitely informative. Then we've got the superb legal aspects with Super Attorney Rick Dye and Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot tell you how much you can benefit from these gentlemen. Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm sponsors this extended segment, and we go over every aspect of law that you can think of when it comes to just your rights, constitution, your gun laws, the whole works, penal codes. Aaron'sGunShop.com, go to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, watch the videos. I'm get irritated at people who come up to me and ask me questions when I tell them the answer, and that it is your responsibility to go and find out more information above and beyond what I do. And here's a great place to go. Go to my YouTube channel. You're getting top-notch attorneys giving you free information for over 30 minutes. You know what that would cost you? An hour's rate with a prominent attorney is probably that much money. You're getting 30 minutes of it for free. You need to go to it. Aaron'sGunShop.com. Go to the YouTube channel and subscribe and start listening to the videos. Or go to the radio page and listen to the podcast. It goes back 5 years. Extremely important. Tactical snacking. The delicious Janae Goodman, she's got her act together. She knows her stuff. Like I know guns, she knows cooking and food. And she provides every Saturday a segment about 5 minutes long. She spends her time during the week to make sure she gets something that hopefully matches what I'm doing. And if not, it's seasonal. But she does a fantastic job. She tries to help everybody figure out how to stretch those pennies, use what you got in the refrigerator, come up with concept ideas, how to grow your own food, all sorts of great stuff. So support her. If you got a sponsor out there who is looking to sponsor a food type of deal, this would be a great thing. People dial into her specifically to listen to what she's got to say. The voice of law enforcement, a 45-year police veteran, plus year, police veteran, retired police chief, Randy Dixon, gives us his words of wisdom and experience from over the years. I mean, he's got a ton of information to give out there. It's incredible what he's a walking encyclopedia. I say that. The epitome of encyclopedia. He's got so much information. You can talk about any topic and he'll come up with his history of knowledge and wisdom when it comes to that. Then we've got product spotlights. I just read to you the EC9 or Ruger EC9 from ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. Let me tell you something about Arch Koontz. This guy's incredible. Nice guy. He's just a nice guy. And he's very supportive of me and this program. It's disgustingly nice how nice he is to me. I mean, he's just so generous of a guy, and he'll treat you so right at that shop, ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Give him a call, 254-983-4417, and they've got all anything you want, they can get it for you, as long as it's legal. And then we've got interviews with great and interesting people who provide knowledge and viewpoint on a wide variety of topics. You got the YouTube channels filled with great videos like I told you about. They've got the podcast. If you missed a show, no worries about that. Just go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio page, pull up any one of the podcasts. It's filled with 2 hours of useful and interesting information. It helps to keep you, you know, it supports you, basically. And the sponsors could really appreciate you supporting them, who support me. Like I said, it's a circle of life. So that's basically the radio show. When it comes to the gun shop, yeah, sure, I sell guns. I sell them online, though. Okay, because I don't keep them in the shop. I do transfers like $25, depending if you've got multiple guns. We've got one-on-one training, family training, group training, schools. We teach schools and churches. We do our LTC courses. Got the indoor range to do it all. Got the shoot house. Look, there's no place around here that you can go and do a shoot house and learn all the techniques of what it takes to protect yourself, turning corners, going down funnels, fatal funnels, the whole works. It's just a great thing. So check it out, aaronsgunshop.com. Check out all the different pages of what we have to offer, and you'll see that we do have a lot to offer. All right, Joel, let's play that clip. We're going to play a clip of me talking about penal codes, 4602, 03035, I believe they are, a place you can go, how to handle a weapon, the whole works if you're licensed to carry. So go ahead and play it now. But I wanted to go over, because once again, issues are coming up about where you can carry, methods you can carry. So I brought the law book, and I'm just going to read through it. And if you got a question, give me a call here, 254-697-6633. But we're going to go over penal code 4602. 4603 and 46035, and it's basically revolves around the carrying of a weapon if you have a license or if you don't have a license. So let's start off with this. Penal Code Section 4602, unlawful carrying of a weapon. This section does not apply to a person in possession of a valid license and carrying a handgun. In other words, if you don't have a license, this is going to apply to you, okay? It says a person commits an offense if a person intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly carries on or about his or her person a handgun, illegal knife, or club if that person is not on the person's own premises or premises under the person's control. Obviously, if it's somebody else's premises or whatever and they have authority to be there, then they're okay. Or inside of or directly en route to a motor vehicle that is owned by the person or under the person's control. Notice it says inside of or directly en route to. A person commits an offense if the person intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly carries on or about his or her person a handgun in a motor vehicle or watercraft that is owned by the person or under the person's control at any which time in which the handgun is in plain view, unless it's in a shoulder or belt holster and you got a license. But we're talking right now, I want to talk specifically about people who don't have a license. Or you're engaged in criminal activity other than a Class C misdemeanor that is a violation of law or ordinance regarding regulating traffic, prohibited by law from possessing a firearm, or a member of a street gang. Okay? So let's break this down. If you don't have a license, people ask me this: can I carry a gun in my car? And the answer is yes. I gotta fix this camera here. Okay. The answer is yes. Can you carry it? If you don't have a license, can you have a gun in your car? And then they say, or I ask them these questions: if you don't have a license and you have the gun in your car, can it be loaded? And a lot of people tell me, oh, no, 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 it can't be loaded. Well, the answer is, yes, it can be loaded. And what does loaded mean? We've talked about it on this radio show many a times. What does a loaded handgun mean? It means the magazine could be loaded, the chamber could be empty, but the law still considers it to be loaded. The handgun could have ammunition in the magazine. It could have one in the chamber. It's loaded. The handgun could be next to the magazine, and a lot of people will consider it, because it's readily accessible, that the gun is loaded. So in those, that's the definition of a loaded handgun. But if you're in your vehicle and you don't have a license, you can have a handgun that is loaded and ready to go. What's the one stipulation, though? The stipulation is, if you don't have a license and you have a handgun in your car, it must be concealed. Now, let's talk about this. In your premise, your home's a premise, right? Do you have to conceal your weapon? No, of course not. Your vehicle is considered your premise. However, there's a stipulation on this premise. This premise says if you're going to have a handgun in your vehicle, it must be concealed. If you do not have a handgun license, a license to carry, and you want to carry a handgun in that vehicle, you can do so as long as it's concealed. It's got to be concealed. Okay? When it says here, I read the handgun's in plain view unless in a shoulder or belt holster. This is an open carry state. So if you do have a license to carry and you're in your vehicle, it can be in the open, but it must be in the open, secured in a shoulder holster or a hip holster. That is the way it's permissible to be in public view. That is, if you have a license and it's attached and secured in a shoulder holster or a belt holster, okay? Now, let's go to Penal Code 4603. I'm going to go fast on this. A lot of people say, where can I not go with a handgun? And I asked him, what would you rather do? Would you rather learn the probably millions of places you can go with a handgun, or the 10 to 12 places and conditions that you can't go? And obviously they look at me and they go, well, of course, it's easier to memorize 12 than it is 10. So what we're going to do here is I want to go over the 10 places and the two bonuses that you can't go or can't do when carrying a weapon with a license, okay? So here we go. This is Penal Code 4603. The number here is 254-697-6633. Pay attention. Listen to me. Listen to the words I say, because the words I say have specific meaning. I don't use them unless it's important, okay? There's 10 places you can't go. There's a bonus place you can't go, and there's a condition you can't be in. So let's pay attention. Penal Code 4603 has 7 of them. It says, places weapons prohibited. This section makes it an offense to possess or carry any weapon into the following places, even if you have a license. Number 1, physical premises of a public or private school or institution. Comma, new thought, here's number 2. Grounds where a school-sponsored activity is being conducted, or a passenger transportation vehicle of a school, unless pursuant to written regulation or authorization of the institution. What that means is this. It says where grounds where a school-sponsored activity is being conducted. It didn't say grounds where a school-sponsored activity gets conducted. It says where it's being conducted. See the difference in the words? So you could be in a track and field that nothing's going on and be okay as long as there's no signs posted. But if they happen to have a school function going on there, track and field events or whatever, it's a school-sponsored activity, you can't go there. So it's where it's being conducted. So it's premises of a physical public, private school institutions. Number 1, grounds where school-sponsored activity is being conducted. Number 2. Number 3, premises of a polling place on election day or during early voting. That's pretty simple, right? We don't want to sway the vote. We got that enough happening with dead people voting and illegals voting and the whole works, but I'll get political if I do that, so I'll just shut up. Premises of government court or offices used by court. That was what, 4? Premises of a racetrack. Mafia doesn't want competition. Secured area of an airport. What is the secured area of an airport? Is it where you buy your tickets? No. Is it where you park your car? No. The secured area of the airport is where they grope you, okay? When you get to the line to go to your gate and you got TSA and they grope you and x-ray you, that's when you're entering the secured area of an airport. So you cannot go in there with a firearm. Within 1,000 feet of an execution place on execution day, I'm ad-libbing. That's Huntsville. If they got an execution going on, they're going to probably mark it off 1,000 feet. You can't go around there if you got a license to carry. They're afraid you're going to break somebody out, okay? So what was that, 7? Now, this section defines premises to include a building or a portion of a building. It does not include driveways, streets, sidewalks, walkways, parking lots, or garages. So if I go up to one of those places and I'm on the sidewalk, can I be there? Yes, because it's not a premise. Can I go, if there's an awning attached to a building and it's covering the sidewalk and you want to stand under it because it's raining, is that a premise? Is that part of a premise, considered a premise? I don't know. So if you're in doubt, stand in the rain, okay? That was 7 of them. Now, there's going to be 3 more and then 2 bonuses in the next penal code, section 46035. They label this one unlawfully carrying of a weapon by a license holder. This section makes it unlawful for a license holder to carry in the handgun in the following situations. Number 8 on our list is going to be on the premises of a business that derives 51% or more of its income from the sale or service of alcoholic beverages for on-premise consumption as determined by the Alcoholic Beverage Commission. Now, does that mean I cannot go into a liquor store? No, it does not. They do not consume liquor in a liquor store. They sell liquor and alcohol in a liquor store. They do not consume it. The rule here says on the premises that derives 51% or more of its income from the sale or service of alcoholic beverages for on-premise consumption.
a bar. Does Chili's count? Does Bennigan's count? No, because they make way more money on their food than they do their alcoholic beverages. Okay? You will see TABC, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, they will post a sign at a convenience store, at bars. Convenience stores will have the sign that says the unlicensed possession of a weapon, blah, blah, blah. It's at the front door there. It's in blue letters. It means absolutely nothing for you, the licensed carry holder, and it means absolutely nothing for the criminal who wants to rob the store. It's a wasted tree to make a paper sign, okay? It means nothing. The next one will be the 51% sign. It's usually big red, and it says it's a felony if you enter this place. And that's from TABC. They're saying, look, we have designated this place that makes 51% or more of its income from the sale of service of alcoholic beverages for on-premise consumption. You can't go in there. That's a felony. Okay? So that was number eight. Number nine. On the premises where a high school, collegiate, or professional sporting or interscholastic event, like I always say that five times fast, is taking place unless the license holder is a participant in an event in which a handgun is used. Okay? Simple. 10. On the premises of a correctional facility. Duh. Do I have to explain that one to you? Now, bonus number one. While the license holder is intoxicated. Do I have to go over that one? I don't think so. And bonus number two. Federal facilities. Federal land and facilities. Don't jack with the feds, okay? You don't want to do that. That talks about post offices. If you're a vet, that talks about bringing your gun with you in your vehicle on the VA parking lot, going into VA buildings. Don't do it. There's an incident I know of. An individual did a traffic violation in a VA parking lot, pulled over by the police, found out he's LTC. Obviously, he's a good Joe. Says, yeah, officer, I'm a licensed carrier. It's in the car there. Bam! Under federal regulation, judges and all this kind of stuff, criminal act, blah, blah, blah. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Those are the 10 places you can't go and the two bonuses that you can't. So here's how you do it. If you follow up on this with this video, or if you've written down what I've told you over the radio, you should have 12 things, 10 places you can't go, 11 places you can't go, and one condition you want to be in, that's intoxicated, okay? All you have to do now is wherever you go, you say to yourself, is this place that I'm about to go into one of my list of 12? And if it's not, did anybody post a sign up that says I can't go in? And the sign has to be proper. It has to be penal code 30-6 or a penal code 30-7 sign. That's for another day, another class. Okay. So if they don't have those signs and nobody verbally tells you and is standing there who has a position of authority and says, I don't know who you are, but if you have a license to carry, you're not authorized to come in here. They gave you a verbal command. You cannot go in there. Otherwise, you're trespassing. Okay. Learn the 12. Learn what 30-6 and 30-7 are, and I have videos on that. You can look them up. Memorize it, and it's a very easy way to know if you can go to one place and you can't go to another. Now, there's one other thing that a lot of people have a problem with, and it says that the following premises restrictions on entry do not apply without effective notice, and that is hospitals or nursing homes, amusement parks, church, synagogues, mental entities. Ladies and gentlemen, if there is not a 30-6 or 30-7 sign posted and nobody in position of authority told you you can't go in there, you can go in to a hospital or a nursing home. You can go into an amusement park. You can go into a church, synagogue, or other place of worship. You can go into a governmental entity. That's the law. That's what it says. Understand the law. Don't be pitched around by ignorant people who do not know what they're talking about and trying to push an agenda because they're beating you with ignorance, okay? You can go into those places, and the condition is there must be a sign posted for you to be restricted from going in there. Learn the law. Be a responsible citizen with a firearm. Learn the law. Know the laws. Be empowered by the law. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm live now. Okay, you're listening to a recorded session there on Penal Codes 4602, 03, 035, which is great. It's on my YouTube channel, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, listen to other great videos like that. Prominent attorneys, great special guests, the whole works. So check it out. Show's about to wind down, so I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank the sponsors. Remember to support the sponsors, support the program. It's a circle of life. Without them, I'm not on the air, okay? It takes a lot to get on the air here. I've also got a couple spots available for my license to carry class at 2. You need to be there about 10, 15 minutes prior. Give me a call or give me an email or just show up. and we'll take care of you, okay? And until next week, keep your powder dry. God bless.